Hey ladies, welcome to the Single Moms United podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome. If you are a repeat listener, thank you for your loyalty. This podcast is designed to ignite your thoughts related to single parenting. Remember, the content is not a one-size-fits-all, but it can fit most. Today, I want to discuss the difference between disciplining your child or your children versus what we would constitute as abuse. You know, we live in a time and an era where discipline I received is now considered child abuse. However, disciplining your child or your children, it should come from you, single mom. Because it's required, that's one of our duties as a single parent, is to discipline or to shape or to train our child or children and their character. We have to correct bad behavior. And not just correct it, but educate why we're correcting it. And I think that's part of what was missed in my childhood, as I was growing up, as I was getting corrected, not often, but when I did, you know, really wasn't educated of why. The why wasn't there. It was, you know better. What I want to present to you today is just an anecdote on that you can use as it relates to incorporating proper discipline with your child or your children so that they can become mature adults and contribute to society. You know, again, when I grew up, there was only one type of discipline I was introduced to, and it was physical by way of a belt or a switch to correct my bad behavior. And for those who don't know what a switch is, it's a small tree branch, if you will, was used to, you know, switch my legs for the most part. Not really above any other parts of my body, but mostly my legs. And that was enough. Yeah, trust me, it was enough, because to find a good switch, yeah, boy, it was enough. And then, of course, the belt, generally around the legs and so forth, to help correct my bad behavior. As a result of this, this is what I introduced to my kids as I was raising them. A piece of it anyway. I did start later on incorporating other discipline methods to help change behavior. And I'll talk a little bit about those as well today, of what you can incorporate, when you should incorporate it, the types of discipline you should incorporate. Our children need it. You're going to need it for peace of mind, because you don't want anybody else to have to discipline your child. You don't want that. I promise you. So by the end of this episode, you should have a clear understanding regarding disciplinary options to introduce to your children or your child. All right, things to consider. The discipline should match the act or the bad behavior. What I mean is, if your child tells you a lie, what type of response would you incorporate if they tell you a lie? And guess what? This is one of the behaviors you're probably going to have to, and I shouldn't say often, this is one that's going to come up, and it's going to come up at some point in time, and that you're going to have to respond to it. And so what would you do? Would you respond physically with a whooping? I've known some parents to slap their children in the mouth for lying. There are many methods out there that some people have chosen to use as it relates to disciplining their child, as it relates to lying. I've even heard of, and I don't know how true this is, but washing their mouth out with soap. To me, that seems quite extreme, but I've heard of this. I've heard people say this has happened to them. Yuck. Wow. And my thing is, does it really work? How do we respond to a lie? think about that for a minute. I'm going to ask you eventually to create a discipline chart. So this is one of the actions that you would want to place on that chart, because it's going to happen. As long as your child has breath in their body, at some point in time, they're going to lie about something. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I wish I could tell you that's not true, but it is. And guess what? It's okay. Because if you think about your childhood, my childhood, yeah, there were some lies that came up out of that, right? Some of them you got caught in, some of them you didn't. I know I didn't. It was like 50-50 for me. That's just the reality. So this is something you would want to put on that chart. What about if your child breaks something near and dear to you, or someone else's something that they have that's near and dear? I remember when I used to travel once upon a time ago, and I had traveled to Arizona. And on my way back home, I had stopped into a shop and I purchased a small little cactus. Now, I didn't know if I'd ever get back to Arizona again. So this is my way of remembering my time in Arizona by buying this cactus. And so I set it in our little kitchenette area when I got home and so forth. And my kids were tussling around, playing around as kids do. Well, guess what happened? They knocked over my little cactus, broke the pot, and dirt was everywhere. And because it's a cactus, I really didn't know how to maintain it. They knocked it over. And yes, 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 and yes, I was extremely upset. Now, did I spank my kids? No, I did not spank them. I think I was too upset to spank them. I did a lot of yelling. Don't misunderstand me. Not spanking them doesn't mean I didn't yell and yell loudly. Okay, which I think also put the fear into them. But I was like, I don't know when I'm going to go back. And this is, why did you do this? And da, da, da. And ultimately, they said, oh, I'm sorry, mommy. I'm sorry. But, you know, sorry, I ain't going to bring my cactus back. At the end of the day, you know, I didn't punish them physically. I think it was just more of the loud yelling that I think met each one of our needs, right? That sent a message to them, made me somewhat feel a little better. Not a whole lot, but a little better by just being verbally loud. And that was it. What would spanking would have gotten me or them as it relates to that cactus? I wasn't getting that cactus back, but by me explaining why it was so important to me, which ultimately triggered an apology from them saying, Mom, I'm sorry that we did this. And of course, they cleaned up the mess. We threw everything away and life goes on. It's just that simple. Now, I remember when my son was younger and my mom used to keep him. He was over at their home, my mom and my stepfather. And my son broke a glass table and my stepfather was beside himself. Again, my son did not receive spanking or whooping, or however you want to use the terminology. He did not, but I had to pay for it. Could I have made my son work that off to pay me back? Yeah, that's an option. That's a form of discipline, ladies. Or, you know, I could have went back to my son and said, you know what? The money I was going to buy you pizza with or candy with, or he loved cars, or the car I was going to buy you, I'm going to have to put this towards repairing this table. So you're not going to get that this week or next week or the week after, depending on how much it costs, right? These are methods that you can use to discipline your child, because guess what? It's going to stick, especially if it's something that they have been expecting, right? And of course, he was much younger than he was when they broke my cactus, but it still resonated with him. This was a form of discipline. And that's what we have to do, ladies. We can't turn a blind eye to bad behavior. And so that's what this episode is all about, is sharing with you the difference between disciplining your child, and I'm just going to say it, abuse or child abuse, defining what the two are and how to avoid child abuse. All right. The key to discipline is matching the action with the consequence. One thing I did not receive when I was disciplined, again, I was never educated on why. It was always telling like, you know better, you know better. I do now. So let's get into the mix of how to discipline your child or your children. Discipline should begin at an early age. I would say around 5, but it just depends on your child. Again, I'm just throwing out a number. It's not a one size fits all, ladies, but a one size fits most. At the age of 5, you know, you probably couldn't do a little tapping on the back of their hand. No, don't do that, especially if they're touching things they shouldn't be. Also, their butt or their behind is the meatiest part of their bodies, which can absorb impact. And really, that's where, from a spanking perspective, where you should limit it to is the behind, okay, or the butt. Any area outside of these could potentially leave bruises, which is now fall in the category of abuse, which I'll talk a little more about later in the episode. Disciplining your child or your children should continue. Now hold on to your seats until they move out of your home. But my child is 35. If they still in your house at 35 and practicing bad behavior, then there should be some form of discipline. And that discipline may be just putting them out. Ponder that, ladies. Okay. Now, I recommend you make a discipline chart if you are uncomfortable with disciplining your child. And you may be uncomfortable because you may never have been disciplined. I don't know, right? But some people are just not comfortable with disciplining their child. I don't know how else to say it. They're just not comfortable with it. But here's something you can do. You can write down either on paper or get your whiteboard and a marker, and then you draw a line down the middle, and there's going to be two areas, and the areas are action and consequence. Again, I'll say that again. The two areas are action and consequence. The good news is you can create your own chart to match your needs and make it visible to your child or your children. It's just that easy. It's just that easy. When I hear mothers saying, I can't control my child won't behave, my child won't, that's because they haven't been practicing discipline and being consistent with it. And that's the other thing. You have to be consistent. If they display bad behavior, you can't turn your head today and then they do it tomorrow and then all of a sudden you want to discipline them. No, you have to set that stage up front. What happens when you display bad behavior? I personally set expectation with my kids verbally. For example, when we're going into the store, this is how I expect you to act. I don't expect you to be running around. I don't expect you to be loud. I don't expect you to be begging for everything in sight. If there's something you want or would like to have, let's talk about it now before we get into the store. And then, depending on the price, I may or may not get that item for you. But we're not going to do this. Do you understand? And then I would get the head nod or yes, ma'am. Right? So now we can effectively go into the store without people wondering, whose child is that screaming and yelling? And I know if you're like me, There's been a few times you've been in a store and you're like, what is going on? Who is that? And where is the parent? Right? I know I'm not the only one. But if you set that expectation up front, and a lot of times, single moms, many of us don't know that because it's not getting delivered to us like I'm delivering it to you now. And again, that's the whole purpose of this podcast and this episode. It's about educating in some critical areas of your parenting skills and discipline, or disciplining your children is a part of that. Back to the chart. So again, you have this chart and you wrote down, or this piece of paper or whiteboard, and on the left side you have the actions and or the behaviors, whatever you want to title it, that's up to you. And then on the right side, you have the consequence of that action or the behavior. So let's take, for example, lying. As I mentioned before, it's going to happen. Their children, and especially as they continue to mature and be around other people and watch stuff on TV, lying is going to happen. The first time, you may just want to take away something that's important to them when you found them in a lie. Some kids have phones, so you might want to start there. That's the first step. Or you may just verbally say, hey, I know that's not true because of XYZ PDQ. Now, if it happens again, then this is what happens. So there should be a three-step process, really a two-step, in my opinion. You get one verbal warning depending on what it is. Second time, there's action. There's a consequence to that bad behavior. It's just that simple. I used to say three strikes, you're out. Really, it's two strikes, and it's something's going to happen. Again, I talked about earlier breaking an item. That costs money. Depending on what it was, costs money. One way you can discipline your child is say, hey, you got to earn money to repay item that you broke. To me, physical punishment or physical discipline, I don't think it's warranted when they accidentally break something. And that's why when I share with you about my beloved cactus, I'm not going to whoop them. They were playing around, their children. It broke. I was upset. I yelled a lot. They apologized. We moved on. Now, in another situation, given my stepfather's glass table that my son broke, you know, again, I explained the money I was going to spend on you to buy this or buy that, hey, it now has to go towards replacing this glass table. And now that's a punishment, right? And he's not going to forget that. And now he's going to be more careful when he's around glass because things get taken away from him. All right. Another action or another bad behavior. In prior episodes of this podcast, I talked about a chore chart for your children, the importance of having a chore chart, because now you have to build in that responsibility of things that have to be done to keep the house up. That shouldn't fall squarely on your shoulders, single mom. Your children should have chores and responsibilities, because when they get out on their own, that's the goal. They're going to have to continue that pattern of keeping the kitchen clean, keeping the bathroom clean, doing their laundry, all of these vacuuming, all of these things they're going to have to continue to do. And what the chores do is set them up for real life. That's what it does. And if you have not implemented a chore chart with your child and they are above the age of five, I recommend you go back and do that today and introduce that, because that's another critical piece to your child's success when they leave your home. I encourage you to do that. Now, back to our original topic of discipline. Now, you have a chore chart. They didn't do it, or they didn't do it correctly. Is that worth a physical response to not completing what you asked them to do? I'd say no. I would, again, take something away, or better, just ground them. That's still a thing. You're grounded. You're grounded from TV. You're grounded from the computer. Whatever they enjoy, that's what you take away from them. Okay? And you take it away from them for a period of time, a week. I know you've seen TV shows when they say you're grounded for a month. It depends on the behavior, how you want to incorporate that consequence to that behavior. Not completing the chores in a timely manner or incomplete. Okay, you can't turn a blind eye to that and just say, I'll do it. No, you need to go back and do it correctly. And you're also going to be grounded for 1 week. Okay, so again, you're able to discipline that child without any type of physical response. Now, here is one particular area that I believe does require a physical response. And when I say a physical response, that's you laying some form of either your hand or an object on them physically. That's what I mean by physical response. And again, nothing above the buttocks. Okay, because now that's your line of where it goes into abuse. Okay, pay attention to that. That's your line. Anything above the waist goes into the physical abuse category or child abuse category. So you want to stay below the waist. Talking back is not okay. And as your child matures, this is subject to happen. It happened in my household. I did it when I was a child. I very vividly remember that. And I'm surprised I'm still here able to present this podcast to you today. I'm just saying. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So you have to prepare for it. The reason why I remember when I did it as a child is because of the physical impact that it took on me, or that my mom executed on me, of talking back. And this is not okay. It's disrespectful. And if they can't respect you as an authoritative figure, in which you are, then guess what? They're not going to respect the police. They're not going to respect teachers. They're not going to respect anyone in authority if you allow them to talk back. They are children, a child. So you can't allow them, single mom, to be disrespectful to you. Because if they're comfortable with being disrespectful to you, then yes, ma'am, they're going to be even more comfortable being disrespectful to teachers. And that is not okay. So you will want to incorporate a physical response to that bad behavior to correct that behavior. Now, these are just a few that I named out to help you with your discipline chart. You know what you have to talk to your child about or children about on a consecutive behavior, which is not okay. You shouldn't have to repeat yourself. You can incorporate stages to punishments as well, depending on what it is. Right? First, second, and third offense. Again, I don't believe there should be a third. Not for the same behavior. First time is verbal. Don't do that. And this is why. Let's take, for example, lying. You can't go around lying about things, because when it's time to tell the truth, I'm not going to know that it's the truth. I'm going to think it's a lie. So let's stop that bad behavior now so that we can continue with how life should present itself. If it gets to the second time, and that's where your conversation piece comes into play. First time, you're verbally explaining why they shouldn't do it. And there should be that comma of there's consequences to this behavior. So the second time means they thought they could, you know, test you and try you. That's not good. So now we would want to incorporate the physical response to this bad behavior, because now it's required because they've out and out disrespected you. And that's not okay. Third time, again, I don't believe in a third time. So the good news is the second time should do it because you've given the verbal warning. You've explained to them why they shouldn't do what they did. The second time, you've incorporated physical response to them, laying hands on them, right? So there shouldn't be a third time. I just put this in here for the sake of the exercise, but there shouldn't be a third time. This goes up to the age group range around 8 and above is where we want to incorporate this, because anything below 8, you know, they're still learning and they're babies. They're babies. And that form of discipline is going to be definitely a little different for the babies. Remember, discipline allows children to develop and helps them to become emotionally and socially mature adults. Single mom, it is your responsibility to discipline your children. It's not the school's responsibility, nor the police or the courts. If you do not discipline your kids, this is exactly what will happen. Someone else will, and you do not want that for your child. Discipline should come from you as the parent. When we talk about abuse, again, abuse leaves physical and mental scars, and this is long term. So when they have to look in the mirror, guess what they're going to see? This is going to hinder any emotional development that they're trying to do, right? Think about what it's going to do to their self-esteem. Something you meant to be short-term is going to end up being long-term. And when I say long-term, I mean lifelong. Think about that. Think about that when it's time to discipline your children and how you discipline your children. I mentioned before, when incorporating physical discipline, it should not leave bruises, ladies. And anything above the waist, you're subject to see bruises. And that's for you too. If you're in a bad relationship, anything above the waist, definitely above the neck, that's abuse. Abuse. There shouldn't be any evidence of blood. Should not result from you disciplining your child. Blood should not, because remember, we're correcting behavior. And when we see blood and bruises, it's going too far. It's going too far as it relates to trying to correct that behavior. And then the other thing you need to be concerned with, if they go to school and the bruises are visible, guess what? You just extended an invitation to CPS, Child Protective Services, to visit your home. Think about that, ladies, and where you want to go with your life. Is this something you want on your record? Think about that. And then also, abuse is not only physical. Some words fall in a category of abuse. I remember I had a young mom call her daughter baby dog. There we go. Just in case kids are listening. Why and how can a five-year-old be called such a horrible name? How does that happen? Because the mom wasn't educated how to discipline her daughter. Okay? So we can't bring them into adult situations. And using that word is bringing her into adult situations. So guess what is probably going to happen long term? She's going to turn around when she gets of age, not only call other people a baby dog, but she's going to call a mama one too. And guess what? They're probably going to go toe to toe. Also, calling your child stupid, dumb, ignorant, or you will never be anything. You just like your deadbeat father. All of those are inappropriate. This is unacceptable. This is what I mean by this is lifelong scars. This type of language is what's going to hinder their growth. Their self-esteem is out the window because of those types of negative, horrific word choices that you are using to describe them. You know, I can honestly say, as my kids were growing up, I never, ever, no matter how me and their father didn't get along or things he did to upset me, I never went back and used word choices like that. I never called them stupid. I never called them dumb. Thankfully, and I think that's a key contributor as to why they are where they are today, because having a strong self-esteem is going to take you places. When that rejection comes, when you have that strong self-esteem, it's going to get you through that. When we do or say these types of things to our children, not only does it impact them, but it's going to impact generations to come, meaning your grandchildren. Because guess what? Last week or week before last, I talked about generational curses. And if you're belittling your child and telling them they're not anything, then they go out and they have children. And guess what? That's subject to happen to them with their children and so forth and so on. And it's that cycle that will continue on and on. And at some point, we have to break the cycle. The good news is you can effectively discipline your children without being abusive when it's done right. All right, ladies. Whew, y'all just got me going today. I'm all emotional today. I mentioned before, today's takeaways are creating a discipline chart to correct bad behavior. That's what we started off with. We had the two lines. We had the action result, action consequence, behavior, whatever you want to title it. But you need to list out the bad behaviors or the actions, and then you need to list out what the results are of those actions. Guess what, ladies? That's your foundation. That's where it starts. That's how you're going to produce results. That's how you're going to drive consistency. You know, not only create it, but sit and share and discuss with your children. It works, ladies. The many times I share it with my children regarding the consequences of their actions, it saved a lot of yelling. It saved a lot of disciplining, because they knew up front what was acceptable and not acceptable in my household. That's what you have to do. And especially with the family concept, with the husband being the head of the household and being the disciplinarian and so forth and the provider, that's all you now. That's all you now. You have to strategize on how you're going to incorporate this in your household. It's necessary, especially with our young men. It bothers me when they get pulled over by the police. It bothers me. Some of them are just not going to be treated fairly, and we shouldn't allow the officers or the court to discipline our children. I can't say it any other way. One of the greatest compliments I received during the early years of raising my kids was, "Your kids are so well behaved." I'm like, wow, what a compliment. Because there were days and times I didn't know if I was being a good parent. I didn't know. I was grasping for straws, feeling around in the dark, wondering, did I make the right decision? Is this the right way? Am I being too harsh? Am I being too lenient? There were just times I just did not know. And for someone, and not just one person, but many people to come back and say, "Your kids are so well behaved," again, I'm like, wow. So everything that I went through as a single mom, to me, was the right thing. Because ultimately, that's the response you want to get. That's how you check the box of being a good parent or being a good single mom or your parenting skills. What are people verbally saying? Are they saying, "Ooh, them children are bad. I wonder who their parents are." Okay. People are volunteering this. They may not verbally tell you, You may hear it from out the way, but you have to take note of that because that falls on your shoulders. Good news is you can incorporate the discipline chart into your parenting skills to help drive the positive behavior you want your child or children to display at home, or even better, when in public. Remember, your child's behavior is a reflection of you. Yes, I'm pointing my finger at you. Someone may say that child is so bad. They're really saying is they have a bad parent. Absorb that. Absorb that, ladies. We get called a lot of names as a single parent, and they're not nice names. Bad parent shouldn't be one of them. Let me say that again. Bad parent shouldn't be one of the names we get called, ladies. So let's not adopt that title when it comes to our child's bad behavior. I'm not saying we're perfect, but there are some things we can avert by being proactive and properly educating our children. Okay, ladies, I'm really done this time. I really do hope you found value in today's episode. I'm not going to say enjoyed, but value, because I know I came off strong and harsh. But when I look at our children and society today and what I'm seeing, there is passion that I just have to share with you. We don't want to lose our children because they are not properly informed on life's consequences. And I get it. Hey, I wasn't brought up that way, or this happened to me. I get it. That's why I'm doing this podcast. That's exactly the reason why I'm doing this podcast, because everybody comes from a different background. And even I, growing up, wasn't exposed to a discipline chart. There was only one type of discipline in our family. But there's multiple types that can still drive or change bad behavior. And hopefully, you can outline that into the chart that I described that you can create for you and your children. If you know another single mom that could possibly find value in this episode or this podcast, please share with them. Now, remember, I do have a website called Single Moms United Podcast. Yes, it's a long word. SingleMomsUnitedPodcast.com, where you can subscribe and get notices on episodes that I upload. I have a blog out there, so you can leave me comments as well. Love to hear from you. Again, this podcast is designed to educate and encourage and motivate single moms. So take care, ladies. Remember, it's not how you arrived at the title, but what you do with it. I hope you have a great day, an even better week, and tell your children you love them and you are proud of them. Let's make sure we share, spread the motivation to our children, because what will happen is they will start paying it forward to others, the same positive behavior. What a nice tradition to start. Before I talked about generational curses, what about generation prosperity? Ooh, how do you like that? Which will lead to long-term positive effects as well in your household and to others. I enjoyed speaking with you today. Look for me next week. Take care, ladies.